Devoted love is loyal, and loyal love looks like Jesus. Before I was a pastor, I was a teacher, and I think one of the reasons I became a teacher is I love to learn. Anybody else here? Like, I love podcasts and books and going to conferences. And so last week, on Thursday and Friday, I got to go to the seashore to a conference called the Global Leadership Summit. And this is 2 days of bringing in leaders from around the world, just sharing incredible information about how to become a better leader. And so one of the best speakers that day was a TEDx talk. So if you want to learn more, you can always go. Is this sounding okay? Sounds a little funny to me. You all hearing it okay? All right, so it's just echoey to me. Yeah, a little tinny. So I don't know if we can fix that. So anyway, his name was Jian, and he was a man who grew up in China, and he remembers back to when he was 6 years old, when his teacher invited the whole class up, and she bought gifts for everyone in class. And the reason why is she wanted them to learn how to give and receive. And so they would all stand up there, and one by one, they'd take a gift, and they'd bring it to someone, and they'd say, "You're a nice friend. You share your toys." And then the person who got the gift would say, "Thank you." And that was a good thing to learn. And then they'd sit down. And by the end, he's standing there with two children. And there's three gifts left. And nobody wants to say anything nice about the three of them. And he understands because he can't think of anything nice to say about the two kids next to him. So he knows this is a hard thing to do. But what he realized standing there at 35, 36 years old is that was still in his soul. From that day on, he made a goal. I don't want to ever be rejected again. Now, see, that didn't happen to me in kindergarten. I didn't have to stand up there and wait for a gift. But I know what it's like to stand there and person after person is picked for kickball. And nobody wanted me. And I was just whatever team was left. And you have a story like that, where somewhere in your life, something happened. And on a cellular level, you were so afraid that you decided then and there, this will never happen to me again. And that's what happens to us as people. We begin to walk through life, and instead of walking in confidence with our true identity, loved child of God, that is who you are, we begin to put on personality. And one of the things we put on is this anxious, fear-based personality where we're always looking out into the distance and saying, if A happens, then I'm going to do B. And if this happens, I'm going to change the plan to C. And some of us are more wired like this than others. And so today we're going to talk about what does it look like to leave today and know that you are both a leader and creative. Now, some of you are sitting here and you're like, nope, neither thing is true. But yet it is true because Jesus gave us a call. He said, go make disciples of every nation. When you are a disciple maker, do you know what that instantly makes you? A leader. And a leader is a person who has influence. If you have a family, you are a leader because you have influence in your home. If you go to work every day, you are a leader. If you walk into McDonald's and there's a line of people behind you and you are respectful and kind and you treat people with dignity, you are a leader. And you were also made by the creative God, creator of the universe, who spoke and things came to be. And in you is that creativity. And one way to describe it, Carly Fiorina says in her book, is problem solving. And as I was listening to her this week, one of the things that stuck out to me, how many of you feel right now today you have a problem that is too big for you to solve? I know I have a few of those. They're just too big. Do you know what she said? Do you know what the solution is? You don't have enough people around the table. There might be somebody with wisdom and you haven't invited them into this conversation. There might be someone who has courage and you haven't invited them into this conversation. We were not meant to walk through life alone. Jesus is going to show us that today in John chapter 19. But leave today and believe this. Who you are? Loved child of God. Do you know it does not matter how many times you get anxious? God still loves you. He still loves me. I'll tell you, I was up last night anxious. But does it mean God doesn't love me? No. But does he want that for me? No, I think there's a better path. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be in John chapter 19 because we need to know that our God who made us and loves us, you know what he is? He is loyal and he is devoted. And we need to know that because this world is not safe. It is not even safe anymore to walk into Walmart. It is not safe to send our kindergartners to school. It is not even safe to drive our car. Last week, some of my friends who live up near me were trying to drive home and they were just stuck for more than an hour while they waited for a helicopter to land and rescue someone from a one car accident. Life is not safe. And so last Saturday night, I went to bed thinking all was good. I mean, my three daughters who were home from college, they were all asleep in their bed. We were fine, right? Yeah, no. So 5 o'clock in the morning, I hear this piercing noise that I had never heard before, but I'm really half asleep. So I think I'm going to wait for the second one. Just see if it is something. It was something. My daughter had had her best friend from college sleep over, and there was a bat in their room. And the bat had landed on my daughter's foot while she was asleep. And she kicks it and it lands on the window trying to get out. And my sweet girl thinks, there's a hummingbird in my room. No, it's not a hummingbird. Now, so the fun thing about living in this day and age is there is a way to not die from rabies, right? We went to the emergency room last Sunday afternoon. We got lots of shots because it turns out, I'm just going to give you all some advice here. If there's a bat in your house, you do not hit it with a tennis racket. You need to leave the brain intact so they can check for rabies, because if you don't, you all get all the rabies shots because you're asleep. So we were able to, because my husband is the most amazing man on earth, he was able to capture it, get it to the place where it was tested, and we are blessed, no rabies. But that didn't mean my daughter and her friend didn't have to get the first set last Sunday afternoon. So here I am thinking, you know what? We're good. We're safe. Everyone's home in their own bed. There is no safe, is there? But what is there? There's Jesus. And was he with us every moment of that experience? See, my daughter would have had a very different reaction if her best friend wasn't sleeping there, because now something that was super scary was kind of funny. Like, we're going to go to the hospital together. Like, totally different experience. We kept saying like, oh my goodness, so glad you're here, Amy, because this is so much easier for all of us. We live in America. We have the ability to go to the hospital. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding, guarding our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. So I know some of you today, there is a mountain in front of you. There is something so big and so scary, and you cannot see the way over it. And I want to tell you, life is not easy. Jesus told us, he said, in this world, you will have trouble, not if. But take heart, have courage. I've overcome the world. His promise is he would never leave us. He would never, ever forsake us. So the person who started this global leadership conference no longer leads it. Now a pastor from Oklahoma named Craig Rochelle does. And he spoke the other day these 3 points, and they have brought me through this week. Because as we share all the time, I believe when pastors are preaching, God's first teaching us. I was up last night rereading this. Lord, help me believe this, right? I'm afraid. See, we worry because we think it helps. We think if we can just create the system in our head for, okay, I thought of this and then this and then this, maybe the bad things won't happen. And so Craig said, you know what? 3 things happen as we worry. Sometimes the thing we worry about never happens, right? Like 95% of what we think about, it just doesn't even happen. I did not go to bed last week saying, I hope a bat doesn't come in my house. Like, I couldn't even think that thought. And then sometimes we worry about something and it happens, but it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. God shows up and he's with us. But you know what? Sometimes hard things happen and they're way worse than we could have ever imagined. And God still shows up. He is still with us. His promise is still good. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And so that's why we sang that song that maybe you hadn't heard before, but I want you to go home and put on repeat. Jesus, his love is loyal, is devoted. And so I hope you leave here today and you have a better understanding of what it means to be loved by a God who is loyal and devoted. And I'm speaking this especially for some of you out there who no one felt loyal in your whole life. Time and time again, you've taken your heart and you've given it to someone and they have squished it and they have crushed it and they have said one thing and they have done another, and it is hard for you. I want you to know that God is greater. And he is bigger, and he is true, and he is good. You're not alone. He loves you. He's loyal. He is devoted. And then I want to speak to some of you. You know, each week we've been talking about how God wired us differently. And life goes so much better once we realize this. So we've been talking about these nine faces of Jesus and how God's gospel speaks over them. See, some of us are born and we just believe, instead of knowing we're the loved children of God, we believe we're loved when we're perfect. And God speaks over us and he says, I'm about people. I'm not about perfection. And some of us, to the core of who we are, this is how I'm wired, think, I'm only loved if I'm helpful, right? If I'm not helpful enough, nobody really loves me. And God says, I'm the ever-present help in time of need. You're just my love child. Rest in that. And some of us believe, if I'm not succeeding, God doesn't love me. If I don't get off this couch sick and do my whole list of chores, God in some way doesn't love me. And that's not true. You're just loved. And some of us were wired in a way that God gave us gifts that make us special and unique, and we don't like that about ourselves. And yet we do like that about ourselves. And God shows up and he says, I'm real and I'm true. And last week, I hope Cricket's message got to the core of your heart. You don't need to be wisdom over everything. God is wisdom. You can go to him. You can ask. And did you love how she ended it? You can go take an active next step. Stop thinking and thinking and thinking. And so today I want to talk about what it looks like when we believe we're just loved by a loyal, devoted God. Because people who are wired like this, we have two gifts. This is my husband. And I just love all of you who are wired like this. My husband has the ability to look out into a situation and see 10 options of how everything can go. And then he's got like the suitcase in case we need to bug out because of nuclear war. And he's got over here, like, if the refrigerator dies, we're going to plug in the generator. I've got extra gas in my car. I mean, the man is MacGyver and he's amazing. So if a bat flies into your house, this is who you want, right? Because he's like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this. And normally he just thinks it, but he was so tired, he was saying it. And it was so exciting because he captures it with a wastebasket with a tennis racket over it. And he's trying to put it into a plastic container. And he's talking and he's like, if I let go of the tennis racket handle, it's going to go up and the bat will go out. And I'm just in awe, right? Because I'm stressed. So I'm in like a total eight mode of like, we're just going to squish it and kill it. And I'm listening to him and he's amazing. Okay, we're going to do this and this and this. And he does it perfectly. Captures the bat. We get to send it out. Some of you are wired like this, and you've always wondered, why isn't everyone else figuring out how to fix the life that we're living, right? And everyone's just like, so what do we do? And they know you're going to take care of it, so they just stay in the back and rest. And these people, a word to describe them is loyal. They're the glue of our society. They're the people willing to be the second chair, to support the person above them, to stay loyal in marriage and in work and in church communities. But they're rarely noticed. See, we like to notice our superstars, right? Our people who walk in and are great communicators or great singers. Or these are your loyal people who make sure chairs are straight. Make sure flags are put out. Make sure there's Cheerios and communion. This is who God is speaking to today about your value and how precious you really are. And so today we're going to be looking at this ninth face of Jesus, and it's found in the book of John, chapter 19. If you don't have a Bible, those are the blue books in the bookshelf on the way out. Take one. I have to tell you, if you haven't put the Bible app on your phone, you are sick of me telling you, but there is nothing like waking up and listening to the word of God spoken over you. I promise you will hear something that you would never notice reading. And if you wake up and you're tired, this is the beautiful way to just enter into your day without needing all that energy that some of us just aren't born with. So we're going to be in John chapter 19. And the book of John is written by this disciple who knew his identity. He calls himself the disciple Jesus loved. Can you look at a person near you today and say to them in their eyes, you're the disciple Jesus loves? Could you just take 1 minute and do that? You're the disciple Jesus loves. You're the disciple Jesus loves. Walk out of here today believing it. John was able to believe this, and I think John chapter 19 will tell us why. So John is one of those impulsive fishermen that became a disciple of Jesus, right? He wasn't naturally just this very loving person, but he began to believe he is who he is, and I think there was a person that helped him believe that, and her name is Mary. So if you go through the book of John, many people say it's a long walk to the cross. Chapters 12 to 19 are about that last week of Jesus' life. Seven chapters talking about the last week of Jesus' life. And we arrive here at John 19. And if you know Jesus, if you've read scripture, you know what's happening here, but maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know that you and I were born and we think and say and do things and it separates us from the God who made us and loves us. And God said, no, I made you and I love you and I'm going to bring you back to myself. And I'm going to do it through my son, Jesus, who died on the cross and took the penalty of my sin and yours on his body. And that's where we are in John 19. The people around him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they've already brought him up to be tried. And now he's in the process of being crucified, and we see him having carried his cross. And now he's on that cross with nails in his hands and in his feet, and at his feet are some soldiers. And this world back then is not like our world. Jesus had a garment made from one piece of material, and that was valuable. So the soldiers are not paying attention to the foot of the cross because they're off to the side, and they're trying to figure out who gets this clothes that was worn by Jesus. But at the foot of the cross, women hear this, are women. It is Mary, his mother, and Mary's sister, his aunt, many of whom believe is the mother of John, who wrote this. And Mary, another Mary, a wife of another. And you know, these are the English translations. Their names are all Miriam, right? Just like Moses' sister. This is why they're named this. And also there is Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been very sinful and very loved. And when everyone else has run away, they are there at the foot of the cross. And Jesus is dying one of the most painful deaths. See, he has two choices. He can hang and suffocate, or he can push on that nail and stand up to take a breath. And that is the only way he can speak. So when you reread John 19, I want you to think about what it felt like to say these words that we see in Scripture. And what we see in Scripture is Jesus doing what these people wired in this loyal way do. See, I was sharing this with my husband, and I'm seeing it through the lens of how God wired me. Here's Jesus helping, right? And my husband says, no, Kelly, he's looking out, and he sees a need, and he knows how to solve that need. So we're going to look together at Scripture, John chapter 19, verse 24. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that's how John knew himself, he said, dear woman, here is your son. Now, I've heard this communicated many times, and I've always heard it's because a woman in that day and age could not be left alone. You would die. That's why God abhorred divorce back then. The woman and her children would just starve to death. But see, we know today that Jesus has brothers. Many scholars believe Joseph has already passed, but James and Jude will write Scripture that we see in the New Testament. So he has brothers. So why is he saying, dear woman, here's your son? Anybody here a mom? Is it not really hard when you do the good job that you're supposed to do and they grow up and they leave, right? You're like, oh, I'm going to remember all the fun times and forget all the bad times. And I'm just going to be sort of sad that you're gone. Now, when they're just going to college or getting a job or joining the military, they're still with us. Here's Mary with her son. And Jesus knows that she still has the gift of mother in her. And he says, dear woman, here's your son. Take that love, take that joy, pour it into him. Help him believe he is who God knows him to be. See, whether you're sitting here today, a mom, a dad, an uncle, a brother, someone who just works, you're made to be a spiritual mother and father. Our world needs you. There are too many children back there who are going to grow up and not know they are who God says they are unless we, the body, stand up and speak life over them. There are too many people sitting in here right now who don't believe they are who God says they are, and we need each other. It's why we call you to group. We want you to find people who can pour life into you. Dear woman, here's your son. But Jesus doesn't stop there. And again, can you imagine the pain he's going through to lift himself up, to take that breath, to speak this word? And he looks at John. And he says, here is your mother. Now, standing at the foot of the cross is who many believe to be John's actual mother. So what's he saying? He's saying, John, I came to make us one. That's what we see in John chapter 17. You are called to care for her, and she is called to care for you. It's why we go to El Mirador. We're not going there to rescue them. We go and they pour into us and we pour into them. And the only way we get to meet them is if we fly there. Hey, hopefully someday they're going to fly up here and hang out with us. It's why we go to Place of Promise. It's why we come here on Sundays. It's why we watch online but invite people into our home. We were made to pour into each other. Jesus is taking his final moments, his final breath, his energy that is so painful to say, Mother, you still have work to do. Son, you still have work to do. And Scripture says there's only two more things that Jesus says. One is said to fulfill Scripture, he is thirsty. And they give him some sour wine. But then he says words that can be translated in two ways. He says, it is finished. It is done. What does that mean? I have to say, I honestly didn't know. What is he saying here? His work is finished. We know he's going to come back and create the church. What is he saying? And so one of my favorite authors is named Sally Lloyd-Jones. And if you haven't read her, you need to go to Kids Harbor and ask Jeff, can I borrow a copy of the Jesus Storybook Bible? Because it takes every single heartbeat of God and puts it into one narrative. And says that God loves us and has been rescuing us and pursuing us. So in addition to this beautiful book, she wrote a devotional. And in that devotional, she wrote a poem called It Is Finished. I want to read it to you. It is finished. What was Jesus saying? He was saying everything you need to come back home to God, everything you need to be free and happy, everything you need to live forever. It's all done. It's finished. It was a shout of victory. It was not a cry of defeat. Did you ever wonder that? I mean, is he just saying it's finished? I'm done. I'm dying. It's finished. My life. No. It's a shout of victory. All that held people away from God is finished. God is reconciling people back to him. And that's what you and I get to do. Do you believe today there is nothing you can do to make God love you more? It's an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. And I don't care what you've done or who you are, or what's been done to you. None of that makes God love you less. See, I've believed that lie for years. I'm someone who has struggled with anxiety. It is not God's best for me. And there are moments where I stand in proud victory and I say, God, I believe your promises are true and I feel your peace. And there are other moments where it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I am ashamed of how much anxiety I am feeling. Have you ever been there? What do we need when we are anxious? We need to rest in the loving arms of God, who does not say, I love you more when you are full of faith. And does not say, I love you less when you're crying at 2 in the morning. I just love you. With a loyal, devoted love. That's who Jesus is. That's what he showed us on the cross. So how would you describe loyal, devoted love? So I have to tell you, I grew up in church. And I just love church. Like the other day when I was going to the Global Leadership Summit, I got there a little early and there was a Catholic church that had a 9 o'clock mass. And I'm like, oh, it's 9:10. Can I make it in? Because I just love church. I go Mondays and Thursdays and every conference I can go to. I don't know if you're wired like this. I just love church. I love being with God's people. I love singing his praises. I love hearing his word. And so one of the things I really love is hymns. And so I get excited when we sing one here. And so I wanted to look into a hymn that came to mind as I started to think about the faithfulness of God. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. I don't know if you've ever heard it sung. And this song was written by a man like my husband, a faithful man doing the next faithful thing over and over again. He was a man who wanted to be a pastor, but he was too sick. And so he became a life insurance agent. And he said of his life, I made enough money. And he was given this creative gift that we're all given, and he wrote poetry. He wrote 1,200 poems, 1,199 we don't know any of the words to. But one of them had these words. And these words come in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I hope in him. See, Thomas Chisholm felt what many of us felt. I'll tell you, where I was at 3 o'clock in the morning and where I was when the sunshine came, different feelings. His mercies were new every morning. But isn't that so powerful that God is not asking us to lead some kind of extraordinary life? He's asking us to be faithful in the little, day in and day out. She doesn't know I'm going to say this, but has anyone noticed the beautiful art? It's usually on the wall as you leave and on this back wall. It's done by our pastor, Amy Cheney. And God has just given her a gift to listen to the songs that come before each sermon and then to paint it in art. And she's been willing to share it with us. And I think it has touched so many people as a different way to connect with Jesus. I don't know how God wired you, but I know he did it on purpose. You're the leader to the people of influence around you, and you are creative, whether you are a life insurance salesman or a photographer. Whether you get up each morning and you walk your kids to school, or you're writing music and you're on The Voice. All of it, God uses. So did you ever think of the lyrics? How many of you have heard Great is Thy Faithfulness before? Have you ever sang it? Did you ever think through the words? I didn't. So I want to share a few of them with you. First of all, there is no shadow. There is no shadow or shifting or turning with thee. Do you ever think about that? See, God made the sun and the moon and the stars, and they all have shadows. But guess who does not have a shadow? God himself. There is no shadow. There is no darkness. In God is only pure light. It says that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. That might be the one thing you need this week. When there is darkness coming in around you, you can proclaim with faith, that is not Jesus. There is no shadow in him. How about these words? Thou changest not. Your compassions, they fail not. As you've been, forever you will be. You and I, we can trust this faithful, compassionate, loyal, devoted God. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to walk this out today? Because I don't know if you're like me. When I'm here and we are singing truth and I'm proclaiming it, I believe I'm going to walk out in faith. And then I get in my car and something happens and I forget so quickly what God is trying to teach me. So if you're someone wired like me, and anxiety is something you're struggling with, two things. I need you to take some R&R. Ready? I want you to reflect, and I want you to respond. I want you to get a journal. You can go to Staples right now. They're a quarter, right? Just go to get a notebook. And start writing out all the things that you're worried about. Say them out loud. Even better, find a trusted friend that you can speak it out loud. Have you ever seen This Is Us? It's an amazing show. And in there, right, Randall and his wife, Beth, they do this thing. They just like go at each other with like the craziest things that could happen, right? My kid's 5 minutes late. Well, they're in a car accident. They were abducted. They got the measles and they're at the hospital, right? You just go and you let it out. And all of a sudden you start to realize I am thinking some things that are not true. There is no darkness in God. You reflect, you breathe. When was the last time you just took a breath and you recognize the power and the might of God? And then you respond. You respond in worship. See, these songs that we sing, they're not just meant to be learned and sang and even worshiped. We worship together and worship God. They're meant to be proclaimed as truth. Sometimes I don't feel this, God, but you are loyal. Sometimes I forget and I think it's up to me, but it is done. It is finished. You have done it all. That's what we get to declare. I am not at all known and loved because of what I do. I am loved and known because of who God is. So as we leave today and we reflect and we respond, whether the song that leaves with you is God is loyal, or the words that stay with you is great is thy faithfulness, I want you to leave here today and just take one more step of faith. Right? What we're doing is saying we're going to take a step of faith every single day. It's those little 1% changes that then move the trajectory of our life. We move faster with others. I mean, we move fastest alone, but we move further with others You can do this alone. God loves you. He will meet you in your space. He will get with you in the morning and be with you in the middle of the night. I promise that. But how much more powerful would this be to lock arms with two or three or five people and say, will you pray with me? Will you stand with me? Can I be honest with you? And they can speak over you. Great is his faithfulness. Will you pray with me? God, today we are asking a very bold and powerful prayer that as we leave, we will not just believe you. We will not just believe in you, God. We will believe you. Lord, right now we say to you, God, I don't want to just believe in you. I want to believe you. I want to believe these promises are yes and amen, and they are for me. Lord, I want to walk through this life believing I am your disciple that you love, not based on what I do or who I am and how I'm seen. I'm just loved. And out of that love, it pours out and I point people to you. Lord, give me strength. Give me courage. Help me to believe that you are loyal. When all around us people fail us, Lord, help me to keep my eyes fixed on you, for you are loyal and you are devoted and you are good. Jesus, we pray together right now. Help us to believe that you love us. Amen.